My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our Lenten hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The encounter that Abraham had with God was not the first one. In Genesis 12, we first meet Abraham, who had settled in Haran, a city on the modern Turkish-Syrian border, with his father's clan. God had told him that he would journey to Canaan and provide him with grazing land, peace, and water. And God also said this, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." And yet, we forget this. We don't remember that Abraham had been chosen by God, blessed by God, protected by God, so that when he comes to our scripture today, God and Abraham have quite a relationship already. We don't remember that God had already given Abraham much of Canaan as their forever home. We don't remember that God had said that Abraham will have offspring as numerous as the stars. We don't remember that Abraham had already tried to solve his succession plan by having a child with Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. We forget that in the scriptures, just before today's text, Ishmael is Abraham's son as well. And he grows up in Abraham's household to the age of 13. When we encounter today's scripture, Ishmael is 13 at the time of our scripture today. Does that context give you a little more picture? Abraham has silver, gold, tons of livestock, and yet he still worries about how he will pass down his inheritance in this world. Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands and conceived Ishmael. You might recall, Sarah said, I can't have children. Go with my maidservant Hagar. And go get us an heir. And Ishmael was born. But Abraham and Sarah, when they tried to retract this decision as one that was too risky for their own marriage, they cast Hagar and Ishmael out in the desert. Remember that? They didn't really take into account when they did that the fact that they might be casting off the very heir that they sought. I think Abraham needed God, because we can see he's not making very good decisions on his own about this whole heir and inheritance topic. The day before God made his covenant with Abraham, God and Abraham had been conversing off and on for at least 24 years. Abraham had been blessed, no doubt. But when Abram and Abraham, later, when he lied about his life circumstances or the things in his heart, because he's talking to God, that's when the trouble starts. How many of us can start to see our lives reflected in Abraham's story? We're faithful and God responds, but yet we think we can do it better. What happens when our dreams for our family, work, or the difference we make don't take shape? Most of us pack those dreams away and get on with our lives at some point. We settle for making the best of things. Those dreams just are out of our grasp. We're just going to make the best of it, just as Abraham and Sarah did. They didn't have a son of their own. But Abraham probably frames the promise of the stars in the sky when he was 75 years old in terms of Ishmael. Ishmael surely would have more descendants than anyone can count. So 24 years later, Abraham maybe sees God's promises too much. Abraham starts to tailor God to match his reality. How many times do we, too, give up, just start to settle for things that kind of align our wills, our minds, our future, our lives, to give up and start putting God in a box that starts to agree with our settlements that we can carry around and pull out when we want to, according to the circumstances and rules and lives and our own expectations? We assume that our busy but sometimes empty lives and dreams are all the blessing that God's going to give us. But what I'll say is it's at that point when we're at our lowest, when even God seems way far out of sight and out of reach, that God shows up. God changes Abram's name. He's no longer Exalted Father, as his name means. He's now Ancestor of Multitudes. And oh, by the way, God also changes his wife's name to give her an identity beyond being a princess, her name's meaning. Sarai is now Sarah. She's now Mother of Nations. We may run out of gas, but God doesn't compromise plans. Just after our reading today, Abraham fell to the floor, our text says. I like to think he was incredulous beyond words, laughing until he could laugh no more. He's laughing his ass off because God has just said that he expects Abraham to cut all the males in his household on the most sensitive parts of their bodies, which, by the way, are the same parts that you need to conceive. He expects Abraham to cut all the males in his household on the most sensitive part of their bodies, circumcision, and then he'll be able to conceive. I'm at the end of my patience, laughing his butt off, Abraham might just say, look, God, save me the physical and emotional pain. I've been there, done that, just keep your promise through my boy Ishmael. I like to think Abraham had his doubts. Because we doubt God when we're asked to do things that are super hard in order to fulfill the promises of God. We can't imagine seeing the other side of how it's going to turn out. More often than not, we just decide to pack our dreams away, to put God back in the box. And yet, God extends his promise to Abraham from not only having many descendants, but now to show him that this is everlasting for all time, and that this physical sign, this circumcision, that cannot be undone. And this promise that cannot be undone is the way that you and everyone knows that I am yours and you are mine, as is the land, as in the blessing, and the relationship with God who reaffirms, I will continue to bless you and watch over you. All of you. God does not withdraw his blessing to all peoples he promises in Genesis 12. God does not withdraw his blessing to Ishmael. Go ahead, read ahead. Genesis 17:20. What God blesses is not cursed. Part of God's blessing to us is that our names have changed too. Because we're inheritors of that ancient covenant to be part of the too numerous to count stars and the blessing of all peoples. We came before God once proud and confident we could handle this covenantal relationship, didn't we? We got confirmed. We got baptized. We take communion. We do all kinds of things. We take all kinds of ways to show ourselves that we're good people in the eyes of God. But when God took us in, calls us Christian, did our old selves fall away? God has given us new names in the midst of our disbelief and packed away dreams. Can we see ourselves anew and hope? Or shall we give up thinking God's promises are just too difficult? And we'd rather settle for where we're at rather than where our lives could be. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. For many of us, our character hasn't changed fully to match our new name of Christian. We don't always act, talk, or think like God's adopted children. We are certainly not Christ-like in our treatment of our neighbors, much less forgiving of our enemies. What do you think Abraham would say if he were here right now, right now, in this church? What do you think Abraham would say if we asked him about the fighting in the Middle East? I think he'd say something like this. He'd say, "My children, why do you kill each other? You're all family. You're all blessed by God. Stop trying to decide who's more important. There's enough inheritance for all. You are all my children. There is land for enough. Family doesn't kill family." This covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, I think is the toughest one because it is way too close to our real life in modern times. But if we're to take our faith seriously rather than solemnly, I think we have to have the courage to let the Spirit change our ways. Our name Christian implies that we can be patient with God, ourselves, and each other. Because after all, God ain't done with us. Let's unpack that as we continue our covenant studies this Lenten season. Thanks be to God. Amen.